Today is both the last day of the Christmas season and the first day of ordinary time. And I love this story of the baptism of Jesus. Now, because we have a baptism today, we didn't get to do the sprinkling rite, so you avoided getting doused. It's one reason why I generally love this feast. But it's such a simple, straightforward story. Jesus gets dunked in the water, just like this baby Melody Raffaella is about to be done. Beautiful. But there's a lot more to this story that's going on here. First, in the verses leading up to what we heard today in Matthew's gospel, the Jerusalem leaders, they all make this short trip from Jerusalem to the Jordan to see John, to question him, to keep an eye on him. But Jesus, in contrast, he comes all the way from Galilee, way up in the north of the country, and he knows exactly what he wants from John. The gospel says Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. He's on a mission. Now, John had just been scolding the Pharisees. The last verse before today's gospel reads, "His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the granary, and the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." And then the next verse is Jesus zooming into John. Maybe that can help us understand a little bit of John's perplexity when he puts a hand up to Jesus. This is the guy with the spirit and fire and a cosmic winnowing fork and unquenchable fire. And he wants a sinner's baptism? What's going on here? John says, "I need to be under your hand, and you're putting yourself under mine?" Think about all the people whom the Son of God put himself under. As a baby, under the tender caresses of Mary, under the carpentry tutelage of Joseph. He let himself be anointed by the hands of Mary Magdalene and under her hair for drying, under the kiss of Judas, under the blows of the soldiers, under the crown of thorns. Of course he was going to humble himself with the sinner's baptism. This is what it means for the Word to become flesh. This is how God destroys sin, by taking our sin on himself. This is God pursuing us sinners to the point of becoming one of us. Of course, he didn't commit sin, but he took our sin upon himself. See what love the Lord has for us, how he humbles himself for us. His first words in the gospel, in Matthew's gospel, are to John. "Allow it for now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Hear this beautiful gift that he gives to John. For us to fulfill all righteousness. By John's cooperating with Jesus' act of solidarity with sinners, John is given a part in the plan of Jesus to destroy sin and save sinners. God says to John, for us, let's do this together. This was Jesus confirming the vocation of John. And you and I, we have vocations as well. We have parts to play in salvation history where Jesus says to us, Here, this is us fulfilling all righteousness. And in order to get to that point, John had to humble himself. He had to admit that his vision of how God would save the world was incomplete. And he did. He changed. The gospel says when he heard Jesus, he allowed it. Are you and I so set on doing God's will that we won't even let God himself get in the way? Can we hear his voice when he says something different? Can we hear his voice when he says something we weren't expecting? We thought we understood, but then it sounds different. How obedient are we to his voice? His voice that says, no, this is the way for us to fulfill all righteousness. In the first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah says, the coming king will bring justice to the nations. Sounds great. Sounds like vengeance finally for Israel's enemies. And then Isaiah continues, he says, he'll do this not by crying out, not by shouting, not by making his voice heard in the street, not by breaking the bruised reed or quenching the smoldering wick. Rather, he'll bring justice by being light to the nations, opening the eyes of the blind, freeing prisoners. God's justice is usually different from human justice. Thank God. John and Jesus, they both humble themselves to go down in the water under John's hand. And the gospel says, immediately Jesus came up. He goes down in solidarity with sinners, but immediately he ascends again toward the Father. And the gospel says three things happened. The heavens opened wide for him. The Spirit of God descended on him. And the voice from the heavens speaks eternal love to him. The heavens didn't just open, they opened wide. And they opened wide for him. And so when you and I are in him, then the heavens open wide for us too. Then the Spirit of God descends on us too. And then the heavenly voice speaks eternal love to us too. Melody Raffaella is about to hear that voice this morning. The baptism of Jesus was a beautiful revelation of the intimacy of the Trinity. And when we humble ourselves like John to be corrected by the Lord, when we humble ourselves to associate with sinners like Jesus, but also acknowledge our own sinfulness, when we unite ourselves with him in our own particular vocation to fulfill all righteousness, then the heavens are open wide for us. The Spirit of God descends upon us, and the heavenly voice, resounding on the waters, speaks eternal love to us. We don't get baptized alone. We don't walk the Christian faith alone or face suffering and death alone. We do so with him, and so with the Spirit and the Father. The Spirit is spirit. And so not visible to the human eye, which is why the gospel says that in this particular instance, the Spirit came down like a dove. In his divinity, Jesus could see the Spirit, but the rest of us couldn't. But when the Spirit comes down upon us, while our physical eye doesn't see him, our spiritual soul comes alive. This is how it is with all the sacraments. There's something physical for us to see and touch, water and oil and light and a candle. But it's our soul that comes alive, including every time we receive the Holy Eucharist. It's really not much of a physical meal, but it energizes our souls for eternity. I love this feast because Jesus teaches us so beautifully by his example. When we humble ourselves and we go down, our humility draws the Holy Spirit down. And together with him in the lead, we work to fulfill all righteousness. So here's the homework for the week. Strive to be very mindful this week of co-working with him. And let your humility draw down his Holy Spirit.